Thank you. Hello and welcome. Good morning, everybody. Wherever you're at there, in your homes or wherever else, I don't suppose anybody's out in the yard today, but maybe. So it's time to settle in for our meditation, so get yourself in your favorite comfortable position, but not too comfortable. Think of it as being actively passive, and so go ahead and settle your rear into the seat or back into your cushion or whatever it is. And consider today, maybe you want to be a little bit more attentive in your meditation, so you might come up to the edge of your seat so that your spine is lifted of its own power. Or whatever it is for you. Imagine however you are, however you're seated or situated or even lying down, imagine that river of life, your spine. And take a moment to realize the blessing of your life, your physical human life, the you that's breathing. And come to this moment, please, with all of your imperfections. And love them too. Let your focus now come into your breath. And attend to your breath like a gentle little animal. The most innocent, tender little creature. And see that your breath is alive. And with the same tenderness that you would treat any little baby, treat yourself right now in this moment. Give yourself all that love and all that compassion, all that care, and all that understanding. And so we bring an affirmation to this moment. I am a child of God, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released. And let that medicine fill you through the breath, through the inflow, and then through the outflow. And now from your mind's eye, watch the breath. The inhale and the exhale until it is itself a clear running stream. And through that perfect grace of spirit's flow, imagine yourself filled with perfect life, with every breath. And then from this new awareness, enter back into your physical body as you move your fingers or your toes or something else. Maybe scrunch your little nose. Squeeze your lower abdomen in your pelvic area. And then gently release it. Squeeze your very heart center. And then release it. And then a blue light right in the center of your mind. As you open your eyes, let it illuminate all that you see and come back present to this moment. And we're going to have a little song for you. Thank you so much for that song, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Let it be. I love that. And so we come to this moment. I was thinking, this is the first day of the rest of our lives. Right now, we're creating an entirely new world, believe it or not. And it kind of goes into perfectly what I'd like to talk about today, which is, why is simplicity so complicated? You ever thought about that? Why is it so difficult to just live simply? And I don't really have the answer for it, but this has been such a fun week when I started to think about this idea of living simply and how complicated it actually is. And all of these golden threads started to come my way. And so I wanted to share them with you. All these different engagements throughout the week have spoken to this thing of, how do I just live my life simply when it seems so dang complicated all the time? And so I want to start with a verse from the Tao Te Ching, actually two of them, verses 36 and 37. And the Tao Te Ching is an ancient Chinese wisdom book that we've talked about a lot here, and many people really use that book as a way to live their life. And the Tao is the way, the great way. And you can think of the Tao as the flow of water. or even the flow of spirit, or the flow of spiritual water through life itself. But it's very mysterious. And so the verses say that if you want to shrink something, you must first allow it to expand. And if you want to get rid of something, you must first allow it to flourish. If you want to take something, you must first allow it to be given. The lesson here is called the wisdom of obscurity. And obscurity is just what is difficult to understand, sort of the unknown. The soft overcomes the hard, and the slow overcomes the fast. The Tao never does anything, yet through it, all things are done. Really think about that for a moment. The Tao does nothing, but leaves nothing undone. If powerful men and women could center themselves in the Tao, the whole world would be transformed by itself, in the natural rhythms, in the simple rhythms. When life is simple, pretenses fall away, our essential natures shine through. By not wanting, there is calm, and the world will straighten itself. Do you believe that? I mean, really, do you? By not wanting, there is calm, and the world will straighten itself. When there is silence, one finds the anchor of the universe within oneself. There's peace. That's pretty simple stuff from the Tao. But can you live it? Can I live it? Really? If I want to shrink something, I must let it expand? I just want to stop it. I want to control it and make it do what I want it to do, which is exactly the essence of these teachings that have come. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu Bible, it says, "For him whose only love is the Supreme Self, capital S, the soul, not the self that's identified with a body, but the soul that is identified with the eternal self, the Christ consciousness. For him whose only love is the Supreme Self, who delights in the self and rests contentedly in that self, no duty remains. Such a person has nothing to gain by performing action in this world, nor anything to lose by not performing it." Again, we come to peace. He or she is dependent on no one and nothing outside of that self. Does it seem like that in our world today? We've got everybody yelling at us from all these different places, don't we? You turn on whatever news or radio or whatever, somebody's telling you what's wrong with the world. Can you imagine being so centered in yourself, which is to say, in the soul of the world, that none of that can touch you? It doesn't seem possible today, but I can tell you that it is. And all of our teachers throughout all of time, all of our spiritual teachers have told us this very thing, to center ourselves in this, and it's the very anchor of the universe. And there, we need nothing. And we say, yeah, but I want. And then we go off of that. But we must also have compassion for ourselves. That's why it's the first day of the rest of our lives. Because right now we come to this moment with everything that we are, or at least everything that we think we are. And what do you believe to be true about yourself? And what would you change if you could? And if it were actually possible to lay a hold of this center within yourself and have everything take care of itself, would you do it? And what are the steps to getting there? Well, you guys know I love Richard Rohr, and he doesn't quit giving me good stuff to share with you. So in his daily email that he sends out from last Thursday, he talks about the whole inspiration for today's lesson about living simply. And he says some things about it that I want to share with you. He says, when we agree to live simply, we put ourselves outside of others' ability to buy us off, reward us falsely, or control us by what? money, status, salary, punishment, and loss or gain of anything. When we live simply, we put ourselves outside of those confines. This is the most radical level of freedom, he says, but of course, it is not easy to come by. Why? Because it's simple. It might be called fundamental restorative justice, or primal solidarity with the mass of humanity and the earth. There's a mouthful. Let's look at it. Fundamental restorative justice. Instead of fighting some little part of it, it's the fundamental restoration of justice itself as a principle of being within ourselves as the simplicity of the flow. That seems very difficult, but it's profoundly simple. This word solidarity, what does it even mean? I have to look it up every time because I know the definition, but what does solidarity actually mean? And what it means is agreement. In fact, the definition says, I wrote it down here, agreement or feeling or action, especially among individuals with common interest. Primal solidarity, the original agreement of human beings as to why we would even be incarnate on planet Earth. Wow. What is your agreement with yourself really when no one's looking? He says, when we agree to live simply, we have little to protect and no desire for acquisition, even for acquisition of any moral capital. Moral capital. If they would just do that, their lives would be so much better. I am so much more moral than you. My morals are so much better than yours. That's moral capital, at least the way that I believe it. And we all do it, don't we? The simplicity to just say, there is a human being doing the best they can. It seems like all of simplicity goes right back to just basic compassion. When we agree to live simply, we can understand what Francis, Saint Francis, meant when he said that a man had not yet given up everything for God as long as he held on to the money bag of his own opinions. That hurts. St. Francis, the money bag of my own opinions. And then look what he says about that money bag. Most of us find out this purse is far more dangerous and disguised than any wallet, and we seldom let go of it. I concur, doctor. When we agree to live simply, he says, we have time for spiritual and corporal works of mercy, like prayer, service, and justice work, because we have renegotiated in our minds and in our hearts our understanding of time and its purposes. Time is not money anymore, despite the common aphorism. When you look at your life, do you believe in some way that your time is money? And is that same thing that he's talking about, being controlled by what others give me or don't give me, that if I don't have this, I'm not going to be taken care of, is that in some way controlling you? And it's not good or bad or right or wrong if it is, it's just that it causes a set of results. And are those results in alignment with who you've come here to be and who I've come here to be? He says, time is life itself, and we want to give our best lives away freely. And then he says, just like Jesus and Francis and Claire did. And I have to question that. Do I really want to give my life away freely like Jesus did? Think about how committed he was, St. Francis, how devoted he was. And what is so endearing about Francis for myself and many others is how much he loved little animals. And they would just congregate around him, and he would just give them all that beautiful compassion. And he didn't want to do anything else in that moment but love that little creature. And that is what we do or don't do for ourselves. So time becomes this thing that we give it away. And in giving it away, we end up not necessarily even having more, but having eternity itself. If time is money, then everything is about what we get or don't get. Richard Rohr doesn't cut it any slack, does he? He says, when we agree to live simply, we have little energy to defend or protect our group, our ethnicity, our country, our money, and our religion. We don't want to do it anymore. Our circle is no longer defined by these external and accidental qualities. Because we now find the joy and beauty of the real essentials and the actual center, which is God, which is the Tao, which is the great flow of life. We let go of holding on to it and allow it to flow through us. It is that is the simplicity that I think we all strive for. And so when we have our little money bag of opinions and we're sure that if the other guy would just do what we want them to do, then somehow we're going to be okay. And it never works that way because it's too complicated. And then in my class, I have a class called the Q process. And the Q process is the quantum process. And it's a way of discerning in a moment when I feel like I'm not getting what I need, where that comes from. And what I have decided is against me, and what I have decided I need to fight to be okay. And it always diminishes me. So Dr. Jane Simmons is a writer as well, and she has a book called You Can't Sleep Through Your Awakening. And it is full of wonderful things that, quite frankly, my ego doesn't want to hear, but my spirit hears it and says, I can be free if I will do this. So I'll share a couple things with you. She says, I once read that the only thing that separates us is our beliefs. And then I think about belief systems. There's an acronym for that. It's BS. Let's see. There's some truth to that, isn't there? What does they say? Sri Yukteswar, Yogananda's guru, says, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter what you believe. We can live our whole lives in a belief system that's not actually founded in any kind of truth. It's just what we believe. She says, think about how many wars are fought because of a difference of religion, racial beliefs, and political beliefs. And do you think that we're not in war right now? Just because there's no tanks on the battlefront does not mean that we're not in war, because there is a war going on. And it has to do with what she says here, religious, racial, and political beliefs. And where is that war being fought? Right in the battleground of our own belief systems. Contrary to what our mind will tell us is the cause of our discomfort. She puts a quote in her book from this guy who I have not heard of, Daniel Kahneman. And it's a very interesting quote about this. He says, the confidence people have in their beliefs is not a measure of the quality of evidence, but of the coherence of the story that the mind has managed to construct. Think about that. The confidence I have in my belief is as strong as my confidence in the story that I tell myself about my life and who's right and who's wrong. And don't I have it all figured out? I can compartmentalize who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong instead of just turning in and saying, what are you doing, Kevin? That's the whole cue process in a nutshell. What are you doing? What do they say when you get around 12-step work? They say when your finger's pointing out, you've got three more pointing right back at you. You don't want to hear that. One way, she says, to become aware of our internal state and to shine the light of awareness onto what is happening within us is through our judgment of others. There are some really good people to be judgmental of today. There are some really loud people, and there's some people that really push our buttons. And if you're going to tell me that what I see in them is my mirror reflecting back to me what I can't stand about myself, I don't want to hear that. It is too complicated. I would like something more simple, please. And that simplicity is the center, which is God. And you can call God whatever you like, but I guarantee you that you know that within yourself is a silence. Within yourself is a place where all of these things stop. And maybe right now you want my voice to stop. These are hard things to listen to. So listen to your inner voice, your inner guide, your capital S self, because it's always true. And it always wants to guide you to the right place. You know, I have a challenge for you if you're one who has a really hard time quieting your mind, and you think to yourself quite often, if I could just get away from all this noise, if I could just get away from all this bustle. Carve out somewhere in your home a little closet, a little space, put a little altar where it's just you and the best part of yourself. It's just you and yourself. And go there and carve out a little time for yourself each day. And that will be your safe place that you can go and have communion with this thing that we're talking about today that transcends all of the busyness of the world. So then she puts in this quote here that's attributed to a whole bunch of famous people. And it says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become deeds. Watch your deeds, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character, and character is everything. I had a very mystical experience happen I'd like to share with you, and it was through the passing of a friend. And this was a very good friend of mine who lived a wonderful life of service. And she helped a lot of people and came from a childhood, really, that was very difficult, like many of us. And that difficulty in her childhood and her upbringing really helped set her up to be of maximum service to other people in the world. And she was. And, you know, there's nothing like being with somebody through the process of leaving their body to bring us to the place where we're willing to consider, what am I really doing with my life? What am I really thinking and feeling and believing? Because in the moment that the life leaves that body and you're sitting there with that presence, something happens. A consideration that goes, it's like it goes right through all the barriers that I've constructed and into my very soul to show me a picture of what real life is about. We call it eternal life around here, but the true nature of who you are and who I am. And I could see that in this lifeless body. But it wasn't just that. It was that as we prepared to go to the room after she had taken her last breath, we felt the spirit of her expand so huge that neither one of us could believe it. I was with Jenny, and that spirit got big as the world and even bigger than that, and we felt that. It's almost like in that moment, I've been around that many times, in that moment, I almost hear that person say, sayonara, suckers. I am out of here. Good luck with Earth. You know, there's this expansion that happens. This is what I read about Jesus in the Bible. I know that's truth. My intellectual mind cannot grasp it, but my soul knows that's truth. And I want to hear what he has to say. And I want to hear what these spiritual masters have to say, because they glimpse the true nature of our being. And they come and tell us, you don't have to be stuck in that littleness. You don't have to be stuck in that little cage that you've constructed for yourself, as innocent as you are. And then God says, come to me. My arms are open. But as long as we're not going to ask, God says, have a good day. You can do whatever you want. You have the gift of free will. So then again, as if that wasn't enough material to share with you guys, Charles Fillmore, in his book, from my other class, Prayer and Meditation, Teach Us to Pray. It's a book that he wrote later in his life with his wife after Myrtle, Cora Fillmore. Teach Us to Pray. And Charles Fillmore says this thing that rocked my world. He said, instead of doubting, distrusting, and hating man, which is the fruit of the intellect, Jesus taught us to love man with all our mind, all our soul and strength. Instead of fighting life and struggling to compete with millions of others in the same foolish war as the intellectual man does, Jesus taught man to cooperate, to operate together. Instead of wasting energy and tearing down, Jesus taught man to conserve his energy in building up. What you give away, you keep. Jesus does not load on man's back all the burdens of humanity. In fact, he shows humanity how to love life how to love the author of life, capital A author, and how to love life's activities. In this state of consciousness, man automatically drops the burdens of the intellect and enters into the freedom of real living. Isn't that the definition of simplicity? It is to me. He says, in the past, the intellect has thought its power supreme, judge, jury, and executioner. But while it is a wonderful faculty, it is in truth the tool of spirit. And as such, it needs discipline if it is to be able to perform its perfect work. What discipline, you might ask? It is everything that we teach at Unity. It is prayer and meditation in the highest sense, communion. That as our life, as we go through our life, it's not something that we do in the morning and then we go and we have our intellectual battles. It's something that we do in the morning and then all day long we're looking for that in the world. And the mind wants to say, no, they're wrong, they're guilty, and they're the problem for my life. We say, no, we discipline our mind to say, it's all God. And where is the gift in this? And how can I lift this up and build it up instead of condemn it and destroy it? And in that we will find our simplicity. So of course I could not have this day go by without at least one little Bible verse, right? Because it's all tied together. All these things are always trying to teach us and always have been how to live this life of freedom in ourselves. I love that across religions these golden threads go through. I love that no matter what spiritual practice you have, when the spokes of the wheel come down to the center, it's an empty hole. And that empty hole is the perfection of neutrality, of simplicity. So in Matthew 5, you know, it's funny because the other week we talked about when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, remember? And the devil saying, I'm going to give you everything if you'll just worship me. And Jesus said, nah. And so then what happened? Angels came and ministered to him. Do you remember? And right as soon as that happened, Jesus got to work. And he went down by the water there. He moved to a different place, and he went down by the water. And there he saw Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And he said, come with me. I'll teach you how to be fishers of men instead of these material fish. And they came with him. And then he started to heal all these people. And all of a sudden, everybody's going, who's this guy? He's awesome. And they started to follow Jesus. And there was throngs, like millions of people following Jesus. And he saw the crowds. We're coming into Matthew 5 now, if you know your Bible. He saw the crowds and he said, wait a minute, let's go up the mountain. And he goes up this mountain. And that is a metaphor for going up into the spiritual eye. But he might have gone up a real mountain too. I think he probably did. Anyway, he sat down and his disciples came to him. The disciples, disciplined, the ones who really wanted to do this stuff, they really wanted to train their minds how to see what he was sharing. And then he began to speak and he taught them. And what he taught them was what we call the Beatitudes. And I love that word because not only does it mean beautify, but it also means the Beatitudes. How are we supposed to be? Well, these are the attitudes that you can have to discipline your mind to see the simplicity of the gift of your divine life. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit means I don't need to accumulate a bunch of stuff to be okay. I'm going to let that go. And then what do I get? The entire kingdom of heaven, just nothing. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those that don't want everything get everything. It's a weird thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Your soul knows what to do. When that becomes the soul endeavor, we are filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. That to me is compassion. What we've been talking about today, that what I give, I receive. When I condemn, I am condemned. But when I give that mercy, then I am given mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know what that means. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And doesn't that tie us right back to the Tao, the peacemakers? We go to that center in us, and we're anchored in the spirit of the universe itself. That is the peacemaker. So it's voting time, not just for America. Australia's having an election, and I think some other places are. So I was thinking about this. What is your vote really? What is my vote? Is it something I scribble on that little box, put in the deal? My consciousness is my vote. It carries much more weight than what I check off. And so what will my consciousness be? What will my vote to this world be? How will I live my life? Why is simplicity so complicated? Well, it's complicated. I think it comes down to this. We must take responsibility for ourselves. And God, let it be anything but that. It all comes down to willingness to let go, to forgive our little money bag of opinions, doesn't it? Think about this. This metaphor came to me this morning about a river. And you're sitting on your river, and it's this beautiful flowing river, and you've got your little money bag. You know, like a little old medieval money bag, and it's got your little coins in it, and every one of those coins is one of your little opinions, and you've got a money bag, and then you've got your little coins, and you say, and this is what you're looking at for your whole life, and finally you say, well, I don't want this anymore, so you throw it in the river, and you watch it sort of drift down, and then it's gone, and then you're there with the river, and you see the sky, and you notice the little bird, and then you notice life. And life is just lifing. And it's wonderful to be alive, isn't it, when we let go? So forgiveness gives way to simplicity. And simplicity is freedom. That's it. Thank you.